2020 was a difficult year, and its echoes can still be heard in voices all around us. Hi, I'm Greg. I'm one of the pastors here at West Valley Christian Church. It seems like everyone is telling us how we ought to think, act, talk, and overall just live. It's time to turn our attention to the one who created us. It's time to hear what God has to say about how we should live and what we should be. In this series, we will unpack five truths that, if lived out, can change our lives in powerful ways. We hope you enjoy.
Wow, what a great way to start off 2021 with amazing worship. I'm so grateful, as always, for our worship team. So let me just ask you, how many of you are glad to say goodbye to 2020 and hello to 2021? As I mentioned earlier, not all of 2020 is bad, but I know many of us are excited to be done with that and moving on to this new year. But with that said, I do have a question for you. How do we respond to 2020? With everyone telling us how to act and how to think and how to feel and how to live in 2020, how do we respond to that? Because the truth is, with all those different voices, it could really mess with our heads and our minds and our hearts. And if I'm really honest, it had its moments in messing with this guy's head and heart. The whole idea of how to live my life, how to think, and how to act was definitely challenged. 2020 was definitely a year of many different voices, many different opinions on how we should be. Well, my heart says that 2021 is a time to turn that around. It's time to turn our attention to the voice of the one who created us. And with that said, I get to announce what our theme for 2021 is. Now, if you're visiting with us or new to us, this is something we do every year. We have a theme for the year. And so this year's theme, based off of what I just told you, is this. Are you ready? Drum roll, please. It's be. That's right. B-E, period. Our theme for West Valley Christian Church 2021 is be. It's a time to listen to the one who created us and listen to what he says, how we should act, how we should live, how we should feel, and how we should be. Well, I'm excited about what God's going to do throughout this year, but I'm really excited about today's message and unpacking that just a little bit more. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you for another day here on this earth. Thank you, Lord, that we were able to live through 2020 and then be here for 2021. Lord, we are praying that this will be an amazing year for us. Not amazing with necessarily finances and or amazing with jobs or amazing with our children or a relationship, although those things are good. But we pray that it will be an amazing year with our relationship with you. God, help me to communicate your words and your thoughts throughout this message. And we ask that you do this with the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be good listeners and help us to take away what it is that you want us to take away from today. We love you. We thank you. In the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Well, I want to jump right into it. And I want to encourage you, if you're not in the habit of taking notes, what a great time to start a new habit. I just think it's good because it's so easy for us to forget. And I'm actually a note taker. And part of it is we just learn from learning that if you actually write something, it actually helps stick with you in your heart and your mind, which would hopefully lead to some more action. So anyways, just want to throw it out there. And maybe some of you will type the notes on your phone. But here it is. The first point of today's sermon is this. 2021 foundation. 2021 foundation. So what is the foundation of this theme be for this year? Where in the world did it come from? How did you give birth to that for the church, for West Valley Christian Church specifically? Well, I'm glad I get to share that with you because it's very personal, to be honest. And I'm going to try and be as vulnerable as I can, and I've shared parts of this story, but I want to bring it to you in its entirety. And again, some of you are going to relive parts of this with me, and some this is going to be brand new for you. How did we get here to this theme being B? Well, you know, pandemic's been a challenge for all of us. And as I preach this message, we're going to be almost 10 months into this pandemic. And with it's come some good and some bad and some ugly. And all of us have had our challenges in one way or another. It's been one thing for me just as a father and as a husband, you know, of the pandemic and just for myself. But there's a whole nother section for me, and that's being the pastor of West Valley Christian Church. Leading a church through the pandemic has also many layers to it. And so right out the gate, I said, I'm going to lead through this pandemic, and I'm not going to react. And there were some personal commitments that I was going to, that I made to myself that was going to be very important as to how we brought this ship back safely into the harbor, which we're still not there. But with that, I tried my best. There's no Bible class that I was able to take preparing me for this. There was no books I could read. It was all just trusting God and listening to others and trying to do my best. And right out the gate, through March and April and May, just was here when maybe no one else was here at our church and the staff because we had closed down. I was here every day and just trying to keep things going. And like I said, it was good. But then about the time June hit, I realized that I wasn't doing so good. And I realized quickly because I just wasn't sleeping night after night. I also realized that I lost 17 pounds pretty quick within 4 or 5 weeks. And just my heart and my mind was spinning. And there's a lot that attributed to that. But if you remember, towards the end of June, there was not just COVID and the pandemic and the pressure of when are you going to open up the church and are you going to open up the church and do you wear masks and don't you wear masks. But then all of a sudden, we had some racial unrest going on in our country. And that brought a whole nother level of issues and stress and conversations. And those two things, and then all of a sudden politics heating up and everyone wanted me to share one way or another, and or at least that's what I felt, and some not so nice emails and things. I was just at the end of my rope. And I remember sitting in my office, nobody's here, and I was at my desk and I just lost it, and I had my hands in my face, and tears were flowing, and I just thought, I don't know if I could keep doing this. And it was soon after that that, for whatever reason, I'm going to say it was the Lord, I opened up the book of Job. Now, I'm not going to teach on Job here today, but this is part of the foundation. For those of you that know the story, you know what I'm about to say, but not everyone's familiar with the story of Job, and I'm going to encourage you at some point to read that this week. But the story of Job is basically at the very beginning of Job, where we learn that Job was a righteous man, that he and the Lord were tight, and he lived his life right. And then there's stuff that happens, but the long story short is this, that all of a sudden, Job went from having everything to almost having nothing but his own life. His kids were taken from him, his job, his livestock. I mean, he lost it all. And what's crazy to me is if you read Job chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "At this, Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head, having lost everything. Then he fell to the ground." And this is what blows me away. He fell to the ground and he worshiped. Like, how many of us would lose everything we have and our natural response would be to fall to the ground and worship God? And I think mine would be anger or withdrawal or shaking my fist. I've always been so humbled by Job's reaction. But then you go to chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Job, right there at the end, verse 26, it says this. Job says, I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. I want you to read those words again. I have no peace. I have no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. All of us have our own opinions about Scripture, but this pastor's opinion is this is one of the saddest verses in all of Scripture, in my opinion. Here's this man that walks so tight and so close to the Lord, who now says he has no peace. He only has turmoil. He has no rest. And my question, as I sat in my office and read this, is, and I've never seen this before, but I said, what happened from the end of chapter 1 to the end of chapter 3? Like Job, even though he lost everything, he was on the ground worshiping God. And just two chapters later, he's on the ground in turmoil. His soul is eating away. No peace, no rest, only torment. And so as I sat in my office, I was like, well, what happened? And I read. And what you're going to read is this. All of a sudden, his wife says, Job, curse God and die. Like, all of this stuff happened because of God or because of sin in your life. And his friends' voices were saying similar things like, Job, what did you do? Like, we know you as a good man, but obviously you're doing something in the background that's not lining up with what we see. And so these voices were attacking him from every direction. And there I'm sitting in my office. I thought, oh my goodness, I've never seen this before. The voices that he was listening changed his perspective. And then for 30-some chapters, we see Job shaking his fist at God. We see Job crying out to God and asking questions. And then finally, we land in Job chapter 38. In Job chapter 38, verse 1, it says this. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? I don't know about you, but that would scare the heck out of me. All of a sudden, God, after listening for 30 plus chapters, says, all right, I've listened. Now you brace yourself like a man, Job. Listen, I want to take you for a walk. And then you read the next few chapters, and God takes him for a walk, and he takes him to the ocean, and he says, who tells that water where to stop? And the mountains, and he says, who created those? And all the different creatures, and their different colors, and their different shapes, and their different sizes. He says, Job, who did that? Let me remind you, Job, I am God and you're not. Job, and I don't think this was in a condemning manner. I don't think there was anger. In some senses, I feel like God just had Job's hand and he just took him for a walk. Job, God understand Job's pain. God understood Job's hurt. And what God did on that walk with Job is give him perspective. I think the lesson learned from this was don't listen to the voices that you've been listening to. Listen to my voice. And as I sat in my office with my hands in my face and tears rolling down, that was the very message I needed to hear. Because it was at that point that I had stopped counting with 50 different videos that people had sent me with all sorts of different opinions on different thoughts that were happening out there politically, racially, or even within the church or COVID and how we should respond. All these voices. And God was saying, Rob, listen to mine. Now, for some of you, that's all you need to hear right now are those words, listen to mine. Listen to my voice. And that's what makes this theme of Be for 2021 so powerful. It's not about all these other voices that seem to get louder and louder and greater and greater. And I'm not saying that there's not value in listening. But if that becomes the number one voice in our life and takes us out, then we need to realize we're listening to the wrong voice. The voice that you and I ought to be listening to is the voice of God. Amen. It's his voice that matters. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, or chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says this. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your hearts and your minds on the things above. Because chapter or verse 2 says this. Set your minds on the things above, not on what? Not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. This is what I needed to hear. And this is what I need to hear. Is this what you need to hear? Is this what God is wanting you to hear in this very moment? If you want to live the best life, if you want to live that abundant life that John chapter 10:10 says that Jesus came to give us life and give it to us in the full, if you want to live that life, let me tell you, my friends, with as much love and compassion and conviction as I have in my heart and mind, we've got to drown out the sounds of the world and tune in to the voice of God Almighty. 1 Corinthians 16:13 is our verse, not just for today in this series, but this is the verse for our this year. And I want to read it to you. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. Will you read that with me? Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. Will you dream with me for a moment? Could you imagine if you dedicated your life, don't worry about everybody else, if you dedicated your life just to this one verse, living out just this one verse in the year 2021, how much better your health would be, mentally, physically, spiritually. I know it would change my life. I know it would change my thinking. I know it would help me to set my mind on the things above, not on earthly things. And let me tell you, my friends, my goal is that all of us would do two things. One, that every person that's listening to this, whether you're a member of West Valley Christian Church or not, that you would commit to memorizing this verse. Commit to memorizing this verse, putting it from the page into your heart, tattooing it on your heart and on your mind, and that this would be your go-to verse for 2021. So number one, it's to memorize it, and number two, my goal would be for each and every person listening right now, not that we would only just memorize it, but number two, that we would live it out. That we would live out this passage. That we would learn to be, to stand our ground. That we would stand firm in our faith. That we would be courageous. That we would be strong. And that we would love in ridiculous ways. So there it is. That's the foundation for our theme for 2021. And now I want to get into our first part of this sermon series called B. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number two, background. If you've been around West Valley long enough, oftentimes I'd love to give you the background of what it is that we're looking at. And we're looking at this passage for the next 5 weeks, today and next 4 weeks, 1 Corinthians 16:13. This letter, 1 Corinthians, was written to the church in Corinth. Paul had planted this church, and so he had connection with it. He had a special place for this church in his heart. This church has a rich history of great leaders throughout its young ministry, including Paul, Apollos, and Peter. Now, here's what I find ironic in my study this week. One of the commentaries says this, that this letter was written to the church because it had begun to place improper value on worldly wisdom. Now, you can't make this up. Let me say that again. This church had begun to place improper value on worldly wisdom. Take note of that. Isn't that what we've been talking about? All these voices from the world. The church was giving emphasis to that, specifically to the Greek philosophy of the time being one of those big voices. And what we fast forward to 2021, what are those voices today? Again, I talked to you about the media and social media and political viewpoints and racial viewpoints and COVID viewpoints, and now it's vaccine viewpoints and all who knows what else. But Paul wrote this to say, Christians, you've been faithful, but you've been deceived. I need you to pay attention. The letter was to the church, like the walk with God, God was to Job. I want to say that again. The letter to the Corinthian church was like the walk with God was to Job. Both of them needing to get clarity, healthy perspective. And specifically, in this chapter, as he's closing out this letter, he's rapid firing. It's like a fire hose. And it's just kind of, he goes one way with one thought, and then the next thing he goes this way with this thought, and then all this way with the next thought. And I thought, it's kind of like the parent that's leaving home, maybe for the weekend, and it's the first time that you're staying there, you're 15 years old or something like that. And they're like, and also, don't forget, and oh, don't pay. And then they open up the door, and they're ready to leave. And oh, and I forgot to tell you. And then as the door's shutting, one more thing. And that's how the end of this chapter is working. So now let's look at it. We're going to look at the very first thing that Paul says here in this verse. 1 Corinthians 16:13, he says, be on your, what is it? Guard. Be on your guard. Now there's three ways that I believe that he is referring to when he says, be on your guard, what this means, how that translates into the audience that he was speaking to, and how we ought to be on our guard today in 2021. And that's, again, paying attention to the voice that really matters, and that's the voice of God. So be on your guard. Number one, Christ's return. He was meaning this in reference to Christ's return. Mark chapter 13, verse 35 says this, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows at dawn. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says it this way, so then let us not be like the others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. Let us be awake and sober. This is simply saying pay attention. Living with this kind of mindset impacts the way in which we live. If we are on our guard, understanding that Jesus could come back at any moment, don't you think that's going to impact the way that you and I live? It puts Christ on the radar. It puts him on the throne of our life. But so often the challenge in my life, and I think you could understand this and relate to it too, is that life just gets full. Life just gets busy. Life gets a little bit hectic out there, and it's very easy, even as Christ followers, to take Christ off the radar. But you see, you know why Acts, read the book of Acts, you know why Acts is so exciting? Do you know why that church grew and grew every day? Do you know why people came to know Jesus Christ by the thousands? Do you know why there was so much life change and so much passion, so much evangelism? so much good news being shared? It's because literally the Christians in Acts literally thought the day of the Lord, or when Jesus was coming back, was within a few days, a few weeks, or a few months. And so that was their priority. That's what consumed their minds. That's why they were on guard. They knew what was important. Jesus was on their radar. They were able to set their hearts and minds on the things above. Brings me to this whole idea of the end times, right? Oh, Jesus is coming back. And trust me, COVID-19, I can't even tell you how many people have sent me videos from all sorts of different pastors and who knows what else, religious leaders, talking about how this all lines up and that Jesus is coming back. And I just want to let you know, as your pastor, I have a sermon that I'd like to share with you on the end times. You're like, Pastor, we only got a few more minutes. How can you do that? Because my sermon on the end times is really, I think, biblically accurate and really short. Are you ready to hear it? Hold on to your seat. Those of you that love those end time sermons, ready? Here it is. It's going to happen, and we're one day closer. Oh, you missed it? That's the sermon. You ready? Ready? Don't blink. It's going to happen, and we're one day closer. Pastor. Yeah, that's accurate and that's biblical. He is coming back, we know that. And we also know nobody knows when. So I love to say he's coming back and we're one day closer. But could you imagine if we lived that in our life, like as if Jesus was really going to come back? Don't you think that would change our priorities and how we lived and how we act? Maybe a lifestyle of holiness and service would rise to the top as opposed to falling to the wayside. Do you agree? Do you find this to be true? They lived with the end times in mind. Be on your guard. Secondly, be on your guard against false teachers. Acts chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, it says, even from our own men, or a number of men, will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Within our group, these false teachers are going to come. Verse 31 says this, so be on your guard. I can't make that up. There it is. Be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you day and night with tears. And we could give scripture after scripture that warns against false teachers. And I think about 2021. There's some blessings with technology and there's some curses. There's good, bad, and ugly. With everybody being a radio preacher today. So many having podcasts and the podcast personalities and the online services. And I'm lumping myself into that. Before COVID, you know, maybe you can hear a podcast, and I don't know, maybe a few people listen to it, but now we've got a ton of people watching. We've got a ton of people listening. And so everyone's got a voice. Everyone's got their opinions. And all I could say is this, be careful with whom you are listening to. Be careful with whom you're sitting under and learning the word of God from. Now, let me just tell you right now, this pastor wants you listening to other pastors. I want you learning and growing from different voices. That's good. That's healthy. But you know what concerns me is so oftentimes I'll have a member say, oh, you got to listen to this, or this is what I heard. And I'm just going to be very honest. It's unbiblical. And it scares me. That just because someone says that they're a pastor or there's a that they're sharing from a pulpit, it doesn't mean that they're accurately sharing this book. And so all I could say is be careful. Don't be all about the ear tickling. And the Bible warns us about that. The things that you love to hear, the things that make you feel good. You know, sometimes I think we need to be kicked in the rear end. And sometimes we need to be held. But if all we're attracted to is just being held and affirmed, and that's not what the Bible is saying, we need to watch out. And this is what Paul is saying. You guys, you were so biblically strong. You were so accurate, but now you're falling victim to some of the voices out there, the philosophies out there that are not of God. Check the voices that you and I are listening to with the voice of God, and that includes me as one of those voices, obviously, that you're listening to. You need to make sure what I am sharing lines up with God's word, and if it doesn't, don't listen. Again, we're talking about being our best, aren't we? 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. This is the way in which he wants to take us out of the race. This is why I was hurting so much in June, is I was listening to all these voices and the devil was having a field day and I needed a timeout and I needed to open up the book and I needed to say, God, your voice needs to be louder than anyone else's voice out there. And if you think you're immune to the devil attacking you, read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Jesus, after fasting, was attacked by the devil. In verse 3 of Matthew chapter 4, the tempter came to Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And what was Jesus' answer? Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Well, he's the Son of God. Of course he knew that that was false voice in the wilderness. Do you and I know the voice of God? Because if we know the voice of God, then anything other than the voice of God is going to become very evident to us. That's why it's so important that we spend our time in God's word, and we're going to be talking about that more next week. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces. My friends, be on guard means that we need to be on guard against false teaching. And lastly, prayer. Be on guard. Number one, Christ's return. Number two, false teaching. And number three, prayer. Colossians chapter 4 says this, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Prayer is so important. It's an incredible tool to help us be on guard. I want to share a prayer that you could, actually it's a passage that you could turn into a prayer, that will help you do the very thing we're talking about, being on guard. It's found in Ephesians 6:13-18. And before I read that, that's how I want to close off this sermon. I want to pray this prayer for us. I want to conclude with this, that I'm so excited about 2021's theme, be. I'm so excited that we get to be who God wants us to be by listening to his voice. And then specifically to today's sermon, be on your guard. How do we do this? By paying attention to his return, false teachers, and prayer. I hope this brought you encouragement, and let me pray this prayer out of Ephesians 6:13-18. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted in the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. God, this is my prayer for all of us, that we would be able to be aware of everything that was shared in this passage, that we would use all the tools that you've given us to be on our guard. I love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tender mercies and your love.
Thank you for listening. Remember, visit us at WVCCH.org, or you can join us live in one of our Sunday services. Have a great day.
And your love that you've always shown.